SOP 37.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Well, hello and welcome back to the morning announcements. It's the official podcast of the School of Podcasting.com. I'm your host, Dave Jackson. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to contact me, simply send an email to schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. Of course, you can always comment out at our show notes. Those are at schoolofpodcasting.net. In fact, you can find our entire show archive at schoolofpodcasting.net. You can also call it in. I'll pick up the tab. It's 888-563-3228. It's where we talk about insights, tips, tricks into podcasting, into services for podcasters. It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. And today, I've got to be quick because we have an interview with Rich Palmer of AudioGumshoe.com. Now, Rich had a lovely little legal issue with his show name that he's going to be explaining his whole process, how it happened, what went down, and tips and tricks that you can use on naming your podcast and things that maybe you're not thinking about, especially when it comes to... Did I just whistle my teeth? Especially when it comes to listing your podcast in directories, things you might want to think about. Now, the reason I need to talk quick is it's... I didn't want to edit out a whole lot, but this brings up a good option, a good question here, and that is we've talked about options of different ways of recording your podcast, either recording it live or what I'm doing right now is I'm recording this particular part and I will mix it in later. Sometimes people just call that post-production. And the interesting thing of doing post-production is, yes, you can do little segments here and there and there and have all those set, and then when it comes time to create a podcast, you just assemble them all together as opposed to trying to find, say, 30 minutes to do one quick whole long show. The problem with post-production, as I have found out, is organizing and keeping track of what you've done, what you've published, and what you haven't. And I owe Rich a large apology because he fell through my cracks. I actually recorded this weeks ago, and Rich was very nice enough to politely just kind of go, "Hello, Dave. Hello. Whatever happened to my interview?" And I went, "No." Yeah, so I use, and this is the question for everyone. Right now, I just went free, and it seems to be working, except in the case of Rich. I'm using Yahoo, not as the search engine, but I use their calendar to keep track of my schedule. I have a pocket PC, but the thing I like about Yahoo is no matter if I'm at work or at home, it's a web-based calendar. So if somebody says, hey, you know, or if I contact somebody and say, you know, can I interview you for the show? And they say, what do you have available? I can go to my Yahoo calendar. I can do that. I like their note page. I use that a lot for show ideas. And again, it's web-based, so I can do it at home or wherever I may be. And then they also have a briefcase, so if you get audio feedback, and rather than keeping it in your email and keeping up space, you can put it in your little briefcase and transport files back and forth. I don't use that a whole lot because I don't, with Gmail, I mean, come on, you're not going to run out of space. So that's my question to you guys, and I guess that would be my free link for the day. Maybe I'll throw another one at the end of the interview here, but how are you guys organizing your podcast? I'm surprised some smart little programmer hasn't come out, because the other thing I want to start doing is cataloging what's in my show so I can go back and look and see, well, did I do this or do that, if I want to have somebody come back and things like that. I'm surprised nobody's put together some sort of little Access database and or FileMaker Pro or something like that. So anyway, I'm going to shut up at this point. Thank you very much. I'll see you on the other side of Rich's interview. It is very interesting and in some ways kind of scary. The fact that, you know, you're not sure, you just come up with what you think is a clever name, and the next thing you know, you get a letter from a bunch of lawyers. So here's my interview with Rich Palmer. Check him out at richpalmer.com, and his podcast is at audiogumshoe.com. All right, on today's show, now, neither one of us are lawyers, we need to say that up front, but we have a sort of a legal show today. Rich Palmer from the Miami Valley Music something. See, he got one of those lovely cease and desist letters from the lawyer-type people, and he was forced to change the name of his show, and you know what? I'll let Rich tell you the story. That way I don't get him in any more hot water.
Basically, what has happened is the show name that I had chosen for my podcast was very fine and good for about 6 months, and then it hit the radar. And basically what happened is when I started to really infiltrate Google and all the directories and registries, it sent up some red flags, and we found out, little did we know, but we found out that the word that I used, Musicast, which was in the title of my show, is a trademarked word. So I basically could not promote my services using that trademarked word without infringing on the intellectual property of another. So I was alerted by legal counsel, and they told me cease and desist. We went through some conversation to find out just exactly how far I could go or what I needed to do to clean it all up. But they basically said in very harsh language that I was not to use that in any form whatsoever for marketing, promoting, or any revenue building, which I don't have at this point on my podcast, but would hope to someday. So I had to really look at that whole situation and just find everything that promotes or markets that podcast with that word, that trademarked word in it.
Well, I know you said you had approached them about changing the spelling of your podcast and things like that. And I guess the reason people, when they're listening, don't really think about how they spell the name of the show, whether it's 1C, 2C, 3C's, you know, whatever.
And part of that was because of the perception of what was being used. Apparently, there had been someone contact the owner of this name and said, hey, I understand you have a pretty, you know, pretty good show out there right now, and it's getting some notoriety. And the guy says, what are you talking about? I don't have a show. So there was a perception as to who that was associated with. And he said, you know, there's already confusion as to who owns this particular product, so to speak. So there was a problem there. Even if I spelled it differently, that perception is that it is the same product.
Now, obviously, neither one of us are lawyers, and anyone in this position should always contact a lawyer. But since you've been dealing with legal counsel, do you have any tips or tricks for people who are looking into picking a name?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, before we talked this evening, I got a call from my advisor, and they gave me a couple of the tips that they used when they considered this when I first brought it to them. And it really spelled out a couple of areas that made a lot of sense to me when it was all said and done. First of all, try to search and see if the words that you use in your particular show title have trademark value. Find out if somebody has already registered these. Now, I'll tell you, that is not an easy task. If you go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website and try to search, good luck. Good luck, because their system is not user-friendly. And at least in my experience, I probably ought to be careful how I say that, but it's not user friendly on my level. You have to have some very specific search parameters when you go on their site. And if you don't know exactly what it is you're looking for and in what context and even in what category that a product might exist, then you're really just needle in a haystack. So that is a tough go. Now, obviously, a Google search or a search engine search of some type is going to show you where that keyword may be popping up, and I was able to do that when I renamed my cast, so that helped. But look around. Make sure that it's not something that's being used as a commercial name or as a trademarked or registered name. Now, here's what counsel told me. First of all, if I were to try to combat this particular cease and desist, I would, one, have to prove that the word has been used as a noun in the English language for an extended period of time. So something that is commonplace in the dictionary now, or something that's been used for many, many years, even if it started as a trademark, may be an acceptable use of the term. Number two, I have to prove that I started using that particular word or name before they actually trademarked the word. So you do run into that from time to time. Somebody comes up with an idea and trademarks it because nobody else ever has.
Right.
You know, the original user or the original person can often prove that they were using it long before that. Not unlike a copyright for a songwriter.
Sure.
So there's an option. And then number three, and this is the one where we really raised eyebrows, was that the user or the registered owner of the trademark has abandoned the name. And that was where we thought we might have something to go on, because this particular trademark was registered, I believe, in 2002. And a website was started in 2002, but it sat idle with no changes and nothing on it since that time. So if you go to the particular musicast.com, and I guess we're promoting them now, but if we go to that website, there's nothing there. So we thought, maybe we have something there. Maybe they have abandoned it. Obviously, they're trying to follow up on it, so that shows a reclaim of that particular word. So those are the three things that you really have to think about. You know, is there a trademark existing? Is it a common word? Is it a common phrase or something that's been used in the English language for an extended period of time? If so, you probably have some fair use. Now, the one thing that they did request of me is that I surrender my existing domain name to them. And I had some issues with that. But I found out that if I don't, they can then claim squatter's rights. Then I could even be in more hot water. So,
yeah.
So as it turns out, when we resolve this issue, we're going to, you know, surrender that to them, and they can do whatever they want with it. So if you're naming your podcast on a legal sense, those are some areas that I found we should really look at. Now, I have found in the course of changing the name of the show that there is a multitude of other things that you're going to run into if you ever have to change your name. So maybe we could touch on that.
Sure.
The big one is, if you are going to promote your cast and you want to start putting in it in directories and registries,
right?
And Dave has a pretty good one there that you know, that you might want to get on. But if you get your name out there, make a list. Find somewhere that you can keep track of this. If it means writing it on paper or putting a database together, whatever you want to do, make a list of each and every directory that you ever add your name to. Because if you run into what I ran into, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you how many of those I just on a whim went into and registered and said, okay, there's one down, move on.
Right.
You know, so each and every one. And here's some of the reasons for that. You may have to go back later and make changes.
Right.
Even if it's an email address or an RSS feed link that you need to change. So how do you know where you're listed? So go back and look for that. And if you are listing, is the service that you're listing under one that you can change your username later if you need to? Or can you change your email address? I found a few I can't even change my email address. So I ran into some of that. So if you are listing, make sure you track that kind of information. Can you change your show title in their listing? I found some that I could change everything but the show title. So think about those things when you name, or especially when you sign up for these services. It may be best that your username is something personal to you, but not necessarily the title of your show.
Really, most importantly, I guess, what about your RSS feed? Are people going to have to subscribe to a new feed, or how does that work?
We've been through most of that already, and I had to change it because I was using FeedBurner, and my FeedBurner link obviously was the title of my show. So because that's in the public view, it had to be changed. So I had to use their forwarding service. I was watching this. This is painful, too. To sit and watch your stats as you look at your numbers of subscribers. I watched that dwindle down out of the, you know, the several hundreds down into what is now zero subscribers. So that was very painful to watch. And of course, the new feed link I'm watching just barely creep up. So it doesn't creep up as fast as it diminished. So that's a little tough. So
that's painful.
That had to be changed, and anytime you have to change your RSS feed link, what a painful situation that can be.
Well, hopefully we can help that subscriber number go back up. Of course, the show is at audiogumshoe.com, And why don't you tell us a little bit about your show?
Well, the show originally was an opportunity for me to get to local regional artists, musicians that may not get a lot of exposure on commercial radio. And they may not get a lot of people stepping into the bars because they've never heard them. They don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, some of these people may be extremely talented, extremely well produced artists, but they're just not getting the following or the listeners. MySpace is a great thing to a degree, but, you know, it still wasn't doing enough to really get their music out there. So it started out as that. It's since grown. I do still primarily focus on those folks on a weekend feature show, and I'll take one artist a week and we do interviews, play 2, 3, 4 songs, and just talk about what they're doing and share their music. And then on my second show during the week, I tend to try to reach out a little bit and play a variety of independent music from, you know, PodSafe Music Network or some of the indie labels that are out there, and try to share music that just really comes from worldwide. So it's given me a twofold approach.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show, share your experience, as painful as that was, just so that we can all, you know, think about things like this when we go to name our podcast. And
that's a learning experience. Oh, I wanted to comment on one more thing, Dave.
Sure.
Libsyn. If you're using Libsyn or any service that hosts your media files,
mm-hmm.
and your username has to be changed, that's going to create some new problems for you as well. And Libsyn worked really well with me as I called in or wrote to them and I said, you know, here's the concern, here's what we're under, and I don't want you folks in the same concern if you don't change the name.
Right.
So they changed my username. Here's what you'll find. It takes several days for your existing files to propagate to the new name. So if you have anything online, an archive, or even a recent show, it's going to disappear for a while,
yep.
until it switches over. And I found that when you change the username, all of the accumulated stats that you had are gone. There you go. So that's the biggest pain that I had, was losing those Libsyn stats, because obviously some of us are trying to monetize and we need,
sure.
we need that record. So.
So if you find yourself in this predicament, definitely print out those stats first, because you definitely need those. Alrighty, that again was Rich Palmer of Audio Gumshoe. Check him out, audiogumshoe.com. I said I'd have a random link, so I logged into the site, and at the top there's a list of links and things of that nature, and there's a button that says random, and CC Mixter, MIXTER.org came up. It's a kind of a mashup site, but they license a lot of their music under Creative Commons, so as always, you want to check the terms and agreement, things of that nature, when using any kind of music into your podcast. But very interesting site, especially if you're into mashups and things of that nature. Want to thank Rich Palmer. Want to thank everyone who's listening and adding. Again, I know I didn't read any email in this particular episode, but I didn't want it to go too long. So, as always, you can contact me, schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com, toll-free, 888-563-3228, or you can comment out in the show notes at schoolofpodcasting.net. Now, if you'd like to know more about the School of Podcasting, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, and there are more. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of resources for podcasters, as well as hours of tutorials, as well as you can beat the June 1st price increase. It's going to go up to $19.95 right now. It's just $4.99 a month. So, and we do have another podcaster roundtable coming up very soon. So that's going to do it for this edition. Thanks for tuning in. And until we meet again, class dismissed.